Jaya From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, Text 1 and 2. Shri Sukam Vacha Ekada Tu Sabha Madhya Ekada Tu Sabha Madhya Astito मुनिभिर वृतः आस्थितो मुनिभिर वृतः ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रिये वैश्ये ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रिये वैश्ये भृरातभिः च युधिष्ठिरः भ्रातृभिश्च युधिष्ठिरः आचार्यै कुलवृद्धैश्च ज्ञातिसम्बन्धि बन्धवै ज्ञातिसम्बन्धि बन्धवै शृण्वताम् एव चैतेषाम् शृण्वतामेव चैतेषाम् आभाष्येदम् उवाच ह आभाष्येदम् उवाच ह श्रीसुकम् उवाच एकदा तु सभा मध्या आस्थितो मुनिभिर्वृता ब्राह्मणैः क्षत्रियैर्वैश्यैः धृतराष्ट्रभिश्च युधिष्ठिरः आचार्यै कुलवृद्धैश्च ज्ञातिसम्बन्धिबान्धवै शृण्वतामेव चैतेषाम् आभाषेदम् उवाचः. एकदा तु सभा मध्या आस्थितो मुनिभिर्वितः ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रियैर्वैश्यैर्भृतातृभिश्च युधिष्ठिरः आचार्यै कुलवृद्धैश्च ज्ञातिसम्बन्धिबान्धवै शृण्वतामेव चैतेषाम् अभाषेदम् उवाचः. श्रीसुख उवाच एकदा तु सभा मध्या आस्थितो मुनिभिर्वृतः ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रियैर्वैश्यैर् भृतातृभिश्च युधिष्ठिरः आचार्यै कुलवृद्धैश्च ज्ञातिसम्बन्धिबन्धवै शृण्वतमेव चैतेषाम् अभाषेदम् उवाचः. श्रीसुख उवाच एकदा तु सभा मध्या आस्थितो मुनिभिर्वृतः ब्राह्मणै क्षत्रियैर्वैश्यैर् भृतातृभिश्च युधिष्ठिरः आचार्यै कुलवृद्धैश्च ज्ञातिसम्बन्धिबन्धवै शृण्वतामेव चैतेषाम् अभाषेदमुवाचः. श्रीसुख उवाच सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड् एकदा वन्स् टु एण्ड् सभा ऑफ द रॉयल असेंबली मध्ये इन द मिड्स्ट आस्थिता सीटेड मुनिभिः बाय सेजेस वृतः सराउंडेड ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रियैर् वैश्यै बाय ब्राह्मणास क्षत्रियास एंड वैश्यास भृतातृभिः by his brothers cha and yudhishthirah king yudhishthira acharye by his spiritual masters kula of the family vriddhai by the elders cha also nyati by blood relatives sambandhi in-laws bandhavai and friends shrinvatam as they listened eva indeed cha and etesam all of them abhasya addressing Lord Krishna idam this uvachah he said. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, please repeat after me. Sukadeva Goswami said, one day as King Yudhishthira sat in the royal assembly surrounded by eminent sages Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, and also by his brothers, spiritual masters, family elders,
blood relations,
in-laws and friends, he addressed Lord Krishna as everyone listened. Sukadeva Goswami said, one day as King Yudhishthira sat in the royal assembly surrounded by eminent sages, brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas, and also by his brothers, spiritual masters, family elders, blood relations, in-laws and friends, he addressed Lord Krishna as everyone listened. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskrityam Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasham Tato Jaya Mudirayet Mashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So like the 12th man in an Indian cricket team or any cricket team, I'm the 12th man today. There's somebody else who was supposed to present, but because of the retreat of His Holiness Devamrita Swami, they have asked me to do this. It's an extremely difficult task for me. But I have a consolation that it is more difficult for you sitting on the other side and listening to me. So that way I am more fortunate. So please bear with me for the next half an hour or 45 minutes. So, we were reading the translation of text 1 and 2. The chapter is titled The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha. In the previous chapter, we discussed that Lord Shri Krishna has travelled to Indraprastha. And we discussed as to how nicely the mood of Dasyam was exhibited by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Draupadi, as well as the other devotees. How nicely they welcomed Lord Krishna and how nicely they served. How opulently they served the Lord. In this chapter, the scenario is that Maharaj Yudhishthira, he is contemplating doing the Rajasuya sacrifice. And one day, when he is seated on the throne in the royal assembly, he is raising this topic with Lord Krishna. There is no purport to text 1 and 2. So I will read the purport to text 3. Sri Yudhishthira Vacha Kratu Rajena Govinda Rajasuyena Pavani Yakshe Vibhutir Bhavatas Tat Sampadaya Na Prabho. Translation. Sri Yudhishthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Please make our endeavor a success, my lord. I repeat, it's a very interesting prayer. Sri Yudhishthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious, opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. Then he says, please make our endeavor a success, my lord. So when I was reading this verse, the first thing that struck me in this verse is the amazing similarity between the mood of Maharaj Yudhishthira and the mood of Srila Prabhupada. I found a lot of commonalities in this. The first thing that struck me was that Maharaj Yudhishthira is showing a sense of urgency to establish Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead amongst all those people who were present in the assembly. So he's saying, Lord Krishna, please permit me to serve you with such opulence and to glorify you such that all these people who are sitting in the assembly for the Rajasuya sacrifice, who were assembled at that time in the palace, they know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's showing a sense of urgency to remove this. So he's pleading to the Lord. The same urgency was shown by Srila Prabhupada during his entire lifetime in spreading the message of Krishna consciousness, in going to the ignorant masses and telling them that no mundane person can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is Lord Shri Krishna who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In India, there are 33 crore Devi and Devatas, and people are very confused. At least in the Western world, people did not know about these 33 crore Devi and Devatas. But in India, people are very confused as to who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada had to really undo a lot of beliefs and opinions that people had. So he also had the same sense of urgency, and then he had to, on top of that, he had to fulfill the wish of his spiritual master to go to the Western world and spread this message. A Herculean task which could not be done unless a person has a sense of urgency. Now same sense of urgency is being shown by Maharaj Yudhishthira here. Of course, the difference between the approach taken by Maharaj Yudhishthira and Srila Prabhupada was different. Maharaj Yudhishthira followed the Rajasuya sacrifice route and Rajasuya Yajna route, and Srila Prabhupada followed the Sankirtan Yajna route. So that is the difference. That was purely based on time, place and circumstance. However, though their approach was different, the goal was verily the same. The goal was to reach out to all the uninterested masses in the world and establish the superiority of the process of devotional service over all other processes which were prevalent at that time as well as in this time today in Kali Yuga. So both of them had the same goal. Also, both of them wanted to show the lotus feet of the Lord. It's written in the purport here that Maharaj Yudhishthira wanted to show the masses the lotus feet of the Lord. So what Maharaj Yudhishthira did, he had Lord Krishna in front of him, and then he wanted Lord Krishna to come in front of everyone and show the lotus feet, give darshan of the lotus feet of the Lord to everyone. So Lord Krishna was present at that time, right in front of everyone. But in Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna is not present in that personal form of his, in that same way. Srila Prabhupada also wanted to show the lotus feet of the Lord to all of us. So while Maharaj Yudhishthira took the Rajasuya sacrifice route, what did Srila Prabhupada do to show the lotus feet of the Lord? He established 108 temples all over the world. He established the process of Pancharatri Ki Vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma. He established the process of deity worship. He taught all of us, he taught mankind how to opulently serve the Lord. By the masses who are uninterested in Krishna consciousness, when they just walk into the temple and when they see that the Lord is so opulently being served, they are bound to get this feeling and conviction, this is not an ordinary person, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada established this opulent service. This is part of the Pancharatri Kavi. What about Bhagavad Dharma? It is said, when Lord Krishna departed this planet, what shelter did he leave for all of us? Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adivi Saha Kalau Nashtam Drishamesha Puranarka Adhuna Uditaha. Which means what? That after the departure of Lord Krishna, Dharma has taken shelter where? In the book of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the person Bhagavata as well as the book Bhagavata. So because of Srila Prabhupada, today we are sitting in this room and we are able to discuss Bhagavatam. It would have been impossible to do this because most of us sitting in this room have never studied Sanskrit. Not most of them who are sitting outside this room have ever studied Sanskrit. Very few people in India know Sanskrit language. On top of that, Sanskrit is bound to all kinds of misinterpretations. Those people who were masters in Sanskrit sometimes misinterpreted the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita just to get some cheap popularity. So it is Srila Prabhupada's mercy on us that we have this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam also as it is. So this is the way, and Srimad Bhagavatam, we all know, is not different from the lotus feet of the Lord. So while Maharaj Yudhishthira showed the lotus feet of the Lord through Rajasuya sacrifice, Srila Prabhupada showed it by establishing Pancharatrika Vidhi, deity worship on one hand, and translating all these divine books for all of us, and then exposing the lotus feet of the Lord to mankind. Also, Srila Prabhupada helped his Guru Maharaj in spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, to every nook and corner of the world. So that is how he established the lotus feet of the Lord. He exposed the lotus feet of the Lord to the entire of mankind. So we clearly see here that there is a unity of purpose between what Maharaj Yudhishthira had and what Srila Prabhupada had. The other thing that we see is a captivating humility. It is said that out of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, humility is the first and foremost quality. So we see captivating humility here. How do we see that? Let us go and see this translation again to text 3. Sri Yudhishthira said, O Govinda, I desire to worship your auspicious opulent expansions by the Rajasuya sacrifice, the king of Vedic ceremonies. So, Maharaj Yudhishthira wants to explain to everyone that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has no material desire here. But still, see the second line. He knows he is very well performing a spiritual activity, but let's read the second line. He says, please make our endeavor a success, my Lord. Though the activity is spiritual in nature, still it cannot be done without the mercy of Krishna. We cannot glorify Lord Krishna without his own mercy on us. But this is known to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So he is praying to the Lord. He is displaying Vandana. He is offering prayers to the Lord and telling him, without your mercy this is not possible. So please come on my tongue and let me preach your glories. The same captivating humility which Maharaj Yudhishthira showed was also shown by Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada on Jaladuta reached the US in September, I think it was September 18th, right? 1965? Yeah, it was September 18th. So in your well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada's prayers are written. Srila Prabhupada wrote, my dear Lord, I don't know why you have sent me here to this Western world. Nobody is interested in Krishna consciousness. I am seeing the influence of Maya all around me. Now, you treat me as a puppet in your hands and make me do whatever your objectives are. So that is the humility which Srila Prabhupada displayed. Srila Prabhupada also offered prayers to the Lord. And here we find that Maharaj Yudhishthira is also offering prayers to the Lord. So there are a lot of common threads that run behind the mood of Maharaj Yudhishthira as well as Srila Prabhupada. That's our first observation here. Now, having discussed this, what is the key personal application for all of us? Fine, Srila Prabhupada did that, Maharaj Yudhishthira did that. So what are we supposed to do? So my understanding and limited realization from this verse is that this chapter is very important from the point of view of understanding the mood and mission of ISKCON today. Having understood the mood of Maharaj Yudhishthira and the mood of Srila Prabhupada, it now devolves on each of us to take up this ownership and expose the lotus feet of the Lord through Srila Prabhupada's books to the entire world. What does this entail? The first thing we have to do is that we have to ourselves read Srila Prabhupada's books thoroughly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, and so many books that Srila Prabhupada has written in his lifetime. Number two, not only read that book and sound scholarly to get appreciation from the public, no. But we have to preach the supremacy of Lord Krishna then to the entire world. Only then we can sustain the momentum which Srila Prabhupada has generated. Otherwise it will just fade away. So it is our responsibility to do this. Also, while doing these activities, we may meet with lot of success. Because we know that this is a spiritual activity And since we are doing it under the aegis of Srila Prabhupada, we are simply repeating Srila Prabhupada's message to the entire world. We are bound to get success by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. But we need to be careful that this success never goes to our head. It should never happen that we become very good book distributors, or we become very good Sankirtan servants, and then we think that I am the doer, I am better than all others. So that mood is also shown here, because immediately Maharaj Yudhishthira is praying to Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna, I know that everything is happening by your mercy. I can only do my effort. Every single glorification that happens of yours through my mouth is simply you coming on my tongue and you enabling as Paramatma in their hearts. So this is the mood shown by Maharaj Yudhishthira. Lord Brahma also showed the same kind of humility when he was asked to do the secondary creation. There is Sarga and there is Visarga. Sarga is the primary creation and Visarga is the secondary creation. We all know from Srimad Bhagavatam that all the ingredients for Sarga were already available to Lord Brahma. Only Lord Brahma put this Sarga together and created the Visarga, the secondary creation. And that too, Lord Brahma had no clue of how to convert Sarga into Visarga. So Lord Brahma is also offering prayers to Lord Krishna, saying that though I am the creator, people think that I am the three-headed Brahma, I am the creator, I am the ten-headed Brahma. But no, I have no qualifications. I need your blessings, because without your blessings, I can't create this material world. So the same mood is running here. Maharaj Yudhishthira, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Brahma, all these people who are Mahajanas in their own right, the same thread is running. One of the examples that comes to my mind here is that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Krishna told Arjuna that now you come out of the chariot, and then Arjuna stepped out of the chariot, and as soon as Lord Krishna also stepped out of the chariot, the entire chariot burst in flames. We have got a picture of that also. When we walk to the theater, on the left hand side in the wall, we have got a picture which demonstrates this, depicts this pastime. So Arjuna was bewildered. He was asking Lord Krishna, what is this happening? So the Lord tells him that the Kauravas were very, very powerful. They had a lot of powerful weapons on your side. No doubt you are powerful, but the Kauravas were equally or probably more powerful. While they were shooting all these arrows at you, Brahma and so many weapons were being shot at, it was I who was sitting in this chariot, because of which you didn't perish. Please don't think that it is because of your powers that we have won the battle of Kurukshetra. So I have given a vow to all these people who have been empowered to do something with these weapons. So when a Brahmastra is fired, I have given the benediction to Brahma. So obviously the Brahmastra has to do its job. But still, if it is not doing its job, it is only because I was postponing it. I have to honor the sanctity of that weapon. So that weapon has to perform its duty of destruction. But then, more important than that for me is protection of my devotee. Therefore, I protected you from all these astras and shastras. Now that we have come out of the chariot, I have to honor the sanctity of those weapons, and therefore the chariot burst in flames. So we see that without the mercy of Lord Krishna, we cannot even move our fingers. So this mood is being shown in the prayers of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Now, as we discussed earlier, what is in it for us? We discussed that it's our duty, it devolves on us now, to read Srila Prabhupada's divine books and then preach this message that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the entire world and sustain the momentum created by Srila Prabhupada. In order to preach the message of Lord Krishna, there are a few interesting points that I personally felt we can keep in mind when we are preaching to the external world. Because many people come and ask this question, why is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There are so many gods and goddesses. Why is, there is a person in Bangalore who is showing so much tricks. He is able to do vibhuti from the air and some garland and gold chain he is giving to everyone. So what is there in Lord Krishna that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So it is very important for us to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are currently doing. Because unless we study the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be very difficult. We can still, by reading all the other chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the other cantos, which gradually builds up the supremacy of the Lord, we can still talk about Lord being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada writes in the opening verse 1.1.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Absolute Truth are not on the same level. There is a difference. The Absolute Truth is something more than being the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That is, he is not only the supreme controller, the cause of all causes, the supreme proprietor, but the absolute truth is also the supreme enjoyer. Now, this aspect of the supreme absolute truth is only revealed in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's very important for us to study this, and then we'll be empowered to go out and preach this message to the entire world. So, there are a few points that I have made notes, which I thought I'll share with you today. The first point that we need to know, that Krishna, Lord Krishna, has no equal or superior. This is one thing we have to know. Now, how do we know that? The Lord Krishna himself reveals this in Bhagavad Gita when he says, Matra parataram nanya kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. Lord Krishna says that there is no superior truth. There is no truth that is higher to me. When Lord Jesus came to preach the message of Christianity, at the end he also said that there is much more that I have to tell you, but you are not ready for it. And we see exact opposite in Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says there is nothing more to be known. Right? So there are two extremes we see here. So there is no truth which is superior to Lord Krishna being the supreme personality of Godhead. This is called as prayojana, the goal. So it's absolutely, Srila Prabhupada has made it in his purport very clear that this is the prayojana, there is nothing higher than that. Today, so many bogus showmen, as I said, are there who make claims that I am God. For example, I was reading in the newspapers that one such person in Bangalore recently said, all of you, please assemble in Bangalore airport. I am going to show you Vishwarupa Darshanam, the universal form. Later on, next day I was wondering, my God, let me also see what happened in universal form. So next day I read that this person had to cancel the darshan because he could not get out of his car. There was so much public that he couldn't come out of his car. The supreme personality of Godhead could not come out of a car to show Vishwarupa Darshanam. Ridiculous. So, Lord Krishna did not make any bogus claims like that. He walked his talk. He told Arjuna, Mattaha parataram nana, there is no supreme truth above me. And immediately, he backed it up with a whole lot of pastimes. He displayed his universal form in the battle of Kurukshetra to Arjuna. He lifted the Govardhan hill when he was only 7 years old. He bewildered Brahma, who was the creator, and also enabled him later on to do the same creation. He showed the entire universe within his mouth to Mother Yashoda. He defeated Lord Shiva in the pastime of Banasur. He brought back people who were dead for his guru Sandipani Muni. He brought them back from Yamaloka. Now nobody has done this in this world. Nobody has brought back the dead. Nobody has been able to do this. He subdued the pride of Indra, who is the chief of the demigods. So many pastimes Lord Krishna has done. Now because of these pastimes, it is mentioned in 12th canto, text 13, verse 1. There is an interesting verse. It says, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Divyai Stavai. This verse is saying that Lord Krishna is therefore always praised by exalted personalities like Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruti, through chanting of hymns and recitation of the Vedas. Because Lord Krishna has demonstrated all these things. He has never failed in any of his attempts. Bogus showmen may sometimes succeed in showing the gold chain, sometimes they may fail and there will be a political issue in the paper. But Lord Krishna never failed. He just delivered immediately whatever he said. Even the apparent loss of Lord Krishna when he ran away from the battlefield, from Jarasandha, it's called as Ranachor, was just a pastime. Why? How do we know that it's just a pastime? Because in few days after that he came and killed Jarasandha. Right? Simple. It's not that he couldn't kill. So he ran away, but he came and killed. And why did he run away? He ran away because he wanted to meet Rukmini. So he wanted to perform this for the pleasure of his devotees, not because there was something lacking in Lord Krishna, that he was not able to defeat Jarasandha. Because he proved it immediately after that. And before that, 17 times he had defeated. Right? So he left us with no doubt that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. The same mood which Maharaj Yudhishthira wants to establish through the Rajasuya sacrifice. So thus we understand from this that no one is equal to or superior to Lord Krishna. Number two, God is not bound by any work. He is not bound by any work. In the Svetashvatara Upanishad, it is mentioned, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The meaning is, that the Lord does not have to slog to establish His supremacy. Let us look at the corporate world today. The higher you go up in the organizational hierarchy, the more and more they load you like a donkey. You have to keep on working. Let's look at the most powerful person in the world today, if I can say so, in the material world, George W. Bush. George W. Bush, I don't think he sleeps even for 2-3 hours in a day. There is an Iraq problem, there is a Saudi Arabia problem, if not there is some Vietnam problem, there is some issue somewhere or the other. Otherwise there is India-Pakistan where he is also again involved. Where is the time to sleep? So the higher the position, the more the work, the less the sleep, the less the family time, less time for enjoyment. This is the truth even in corporate world today. But look at Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite being the Supreme Controller, despite being the cause of all causes, He is performing everything at the same time. He has all the time to play His flute and enjoy in the spiritual world. So, we find that God is not bound by any work to justify His position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unlike the mundane human beings, conditioned human beings of this material world. So this is another fact which we need to know when we are establishing the Supreme Personality, establishing the glories of Lord Krishna to the outside world. Even an ordinary man in this material world, forget about George Bush, even people, we have to work very hard in our offices just to make both ends meet. Just to buy a house, we take a huge loan and then we are paying mortgage. Throughout our life, we spend like that. But Lord Krishna doesn't have to do all that. He has all the opulence in Vaikuntha, all the opulence that is required in Goloka. There's an interesting example I was reading about a European who visited India recently. Now this European gentleman, he visited various temples. So he went to Kali temple. So Kali temple was there, Kali was standing with her tongue out, like that. And then, she was having this, chopper in her hand and so many weapons and there was blood all over and, there was Mahishas or whoever. Was it Mahishas sir? She killed? I don't know. Somebody she killed, yeah. So the demon was there and then she looking at him and then looking like this. So it was very gory form. So when this European gentleman went, he got scared. He said, this cannot be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So much blood, so much effort, so many equipments and instruments needed. So he said, there must be something higher than that, let me go. Then he went and saw Goddess Saraswati. Goddess Saraswati was engaged in reading the scriptures, the Vedas. Okay, you saw her in that pose, okay, with a veena and a lot of books around her. So he said, God is studying very hard. Cannot be Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he went and saw Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was in his Nataraja position. Okay, and he was doing the Tandav Nritya and he was trying to destroy the whole world. Lot of effort required because Brahma is huge creation, right? 14 planetary systems, millions and millions of material universes. And to destroy that, you can imagine the amount of effort. And then he said, no, lot of effort required. Finally, he went and saw Radha Shyam Sundar, nicely playing with his girlfriend, Srimati Radharan. And he said, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, I accept it. This person is doing everything he is getting everything done, but he himself is enjoying. Like Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison of Oracle, makes everyone do coding and development work. Whereas Larry Ellison is playing golf somewhere. Bill Gates is also doing that. Right? All of us are working for them. So everybody is working for Lord Krishna. So the European, he concluded that I accept that this person can be Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not slogging to retain his position. So, we understand that the first point, as we said, we established was God has no equal or superior. The second point we need to know is God is not bound by any work.
Yeah.
The third point we need to understand is God is always God. Okay. The bogus impersonalists, they say, come everybody, we have meditation center, we have air conditioned meditation center. That day somebody, when we were doing book distribution, was saying, but we can do meditation. There are so many air conditioned centers. It's so peaceful inside. I said, what if the power goes off? In India, power sometimes goes off. All the peace will be gone. So simply by having air conditioned, do we get peace of mind? But he was still arguing. So these impersonalist bogus philosophers, they create all these artificial opulences, products of technology. And then they come and say, come on everyone, let's all meditate. Just come and follow my instructions. I am your guru. Om Shanti Om. Just meditate. I am God. You are also God. By meditation, you will realize you are also God. Absolute nonsense. Lord Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. Lord Krishna showed the universal form. He killed so many demons. He is doing the Rasa Leela. Let us quote one instance when Lord Krishna said, hang on, Rasalila guys, 1 minute, let me meditate and come. Did Lord Krishna tell anytime this way? Did he meditate before doing any pastimes? Never we have heard. So, God does not have to meditate to become God. God is always God. Right? So, this point we need to communicate to these fools, these Mayavadis. So, God, we have to understand, is always God and will always continue so. Lord Krishna, these so-called Mayavadis, they have written so many books. But these books do not sustain the sadhana of anyone. That day, I was discussing with one of the Mayavadis in my office. He says, I am going regularly to this Mayavadi guru for his bhajans. Most likely you would have guessed who I am talking about. There is somebody in Bangalore with long hair. I won't tell him his name. With thick hair like this. I am going to his satsanga. And then I said, yeah, you go to satsanga? Even we do a lot of programs, I said. We also do a lot of satsanga. He said, yeah, we also do. On Thursdays, we don't eat meat. I said, what about other days? Okay, so the values which they have is Thursdays they don't meet. And then later on, she's telling me. But yeah, sometimes, you know, when corporate parties are there, then sometimes we think whether to eat or not. Sometimes we have to be practical, no? That's what she's saying. So, the values which they have keep changing. When the values keep changing, we can't get anywhere. We'll just be a rolling stone. We'll jump from one philosophy to another philosophy to hear something which is very user-friendly for our ears so that we can continue justifying whatever we are doing. We don't want to hear the correct message. We don't want to hear cutting messages given by a pure devotee. So, these people don't get anywhere. But Lord Krishna's message of Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada gave as it is, has stood the test of time. In this century, the world, the material world, has made rapid strides in technology. The standard of living has changed. But still when we present Bhagavad Gita to everyone, everybody takes it. Because Bhagavad Gita is a no-nonsense philosophy. It's very clear to the point. Explains sambandha, relationship with God, abhideya, the process, explains the goal, prayojana, very clearly. There's no ambiguity. So, obviously, this philosophy which has stood the test of time can only be given by a person who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No mundane philosophy written by a mundane philosopher can stand the test of time. So, we understand that God is always God. So, there are three points which we discussed today. God has no equal or superior. God is not bound by any work. And God is always God. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, only the envious class of people, the fourth point we need to understand is, only the envious class of people deride Lord Krishna and don't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna himself tells this in Bhagavad Gita 9.11, where he says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanu asritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in my human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So, Lord Krishna, in order to establish himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uses what is called as the carrot and stick policy, which we normally see in corporate life today. Most of you know what is a carrot and stick policy, right? Most of you know what's a carrot and stick policy. Normally, the human resources department in an organization designs HR policies or carrot and stick policy. Okay. Try to motivate this person to work by giving him some carrot. But if it doesn't work, despite giving him all the incentives, give him a tonk on his head with a stick. So, Lord Krishna also uses the carrot and stick policy. With devotees who are not envious of Lord Krishna, he uses the carrot policy and reveals himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of us know that after we took to the process which is given by Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have all had some realizations of the fact that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can never go into any other philosophy because we have got the highest taste. We can never leave ISKCON at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. So this is the carrot policy of Lord Krishna. Okay, he sends an acharya to us and then through the acharya, he reveals that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for envious people, he uses the stick policy. So the pastime which I wanted to share with you quickly is the pastime of Duryodhana. Duryodhana was very envious of the Lord. So the Lord still showed to him that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the stick policy. So before the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna went to Duryodhana. We all know this. Right? He went to Duryodhana and said, please give the village of Hastinapur, because the Pandavas had lived out their exile. Now please give Hastinapur village, Hastinapur to them. Duryodhana said, no. He said, give them 5 villages at least. He said, no. I will not even give a small piece of land such that a pin can go through it. He said, I can't give this. Okay. So, all the Kuru elders, Kuru means the Kaurava elders, like Bhishma, Vidura, Dhritarashtra, and even sages like Narada, Markandeya, etc., they told Duryodhana, please don't do this. There is no use. Just give away the land. Don't fight with Lord Krishna. But Duryodhana said, no, I will now capture Lord Krishna, such that the Pandavas will not have him during the Kurukshetra war. So he wanted to capture Lord Krishna in some other way. Let's see what happened. Now, so this Duryodhana was foolishly plotting to capture Lord Krishna. Now learning of this, Lord Krishna whispered to Satyaki. Lord Krishna said, Duryodhana will try to... Satyaki was telling Lord Krishna, Duryodhana is trying to seize you. He has brought a contingent of warriors, oh my lord, he is now going to seize you. So Lord Krishna smiled and said, don't fear, all the kings in the world cannot touch me. So what can Duryodhana do? He cannot touch me, don't fear about this. So he gave assurances to his devotee. Then, hearing this, Satyaki went to Dhritarashtra, the father of Duryodhana, and said, please explain to your son, he is foolish, he is trying to capture Lord Krishna, he cannot succeed. He'll just be finished. Also, Vidura went to Dhritarashtra and told him that Dhritarashtra, your son Duryodhana is trying to do the impossible. It is not possible to capture Lord Krishna. But the very fact that he is thinking that he can capture Lord Krishna, that means Vinashakale Viparita Buddhi. That means his Vinashkal, the time for his death has arrived. That's why he is thinking like this. Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, it is sinful to even contemplate such a, to even have such a desire that I will capture Lord Krishna. It is sinful to even think like that. So please explain to him, your son will die just like worms are dying in a blazing fire. Your son will die just like the lion destroys a flock of sheep. So he is giving all this advice to Dhritarashtra. So meanwhile, Krishna heard all this. He laughed. He said, I don't have to kill Duryodhana. He is already dead because of his own karma. He has offended my devotee, Maharaj Yudhishthira. So he is already killed. I don't have to kill him separately. So he says this. In the meantime, Dhritarashtra, because of Vidura's strong words, has momentary realizations. He says, bring my wicked son here. I will teach him the path of righteousness. But it is too late. It's too late in the day. Duryodhana enters with his entourage into the hall. He enters with Karna, Dushyasana and all the warriors to capture Krishna physically. Dhritarashtra at this time repeated Vidura's instructions. Oh my son, Duryodhana, you are trying the impossible. You are foolish. You are committing a sinful activity. Please don't try to capture Lord Krishna. Duryodhana said, keep quiet. He ordered all his men to capture Krishna into the hall. Still, Vidura reminded. He reminded Duryodhana, Duryodhana, please don't try this. Great demons like Naraka, the five-headed Mura, Putana, Dhenuka, Govardhan, all these pastimes, think of these pastimes. Lord Krishna is not an ordinary person. No ordinary person can do it. And you think, you have the audacity to think that you can capture this person just with some few warriors? He's explaining. Don't think that you are the doer. Lord Krishna is the doer. He is the cause of all causes. He is the source of all power. And he is the source of all opulence. All opulence. Don't think that you can capture him with these warriors physically. Duryodhana did not heed to his advice. Duryodhana said, warriors, go and seize Lord Krishna. And he sent his warriors. As soon as he said this statement, the Lord's body flashed in lightning and grew in size. Various gods, demigods, issued out of his body. Brahma came out of his forehead. Lord Shiva came out of his chest. All the Lokpals came out of his arms and legs. Agni came out of his mouth. Fire came out of his mouth. Indra, Marutas, Rakshasas appeared there. From his eyes, from his right eye came Balram. From his left eye came Arjuna. And both of them stood on the left and the right hand side. Behind him appeared all the Pandavas and the entire Vrishni dynasty. Suddenly in his hands, mace, club, weapons appeared everywhere. And the Lord appeared blazing. His form was blazing. Pores, from his pores came bright shining light. It was very difficult to see that. And clouds of smoke emanated. It was a very fearful form. This sight was too frightening to all those people who were envious of Lord Krishna in that room. Most of them just ran away at the very sight of this. They couldn't just, most of them closed their eyes immediately. Just like in a movie, when a horror scene comes, we all close our eyes. Right? We can't go out of the theater. Just like everyone closed their eyes. But only Bhishma, Drona, Vidura and Sanatana, only they could see this form of the Lord. Why? Because they were not envious of the Lord. They knew how to see Lord Krishna. They had the eyes to see Lord Krishna. So they could see his universal form. And what they saw? They saw that flowers were being showered on God, on Krishna, from the heavenly planets. All the auspicious instruments were being blown. Drums were being played. Cymbals were being played. So this is how the devotees saw it. Then, when Sanjaya was explaining all this to Dhritarashtra, this is what is happening. Your son is seeing this, whereas the devotees are seeing this. Dhritarashtra also got inspired. The stories of a pure devotee are always inspiring even to the demons. Because Mamai Vamsha Jivaloke, inside Dhritarashtra also there is Paramatma, right? So Dhritarashtra also said, my God, this is wonderful. He forgot about his son for a moment. He said, oh my Lord Krishna, you are doing such wonderful pastimes. Please give me the eyes so that I can see this. So Lord Krishna, obviously as Paramatma, heard that, and Lord Krishna immediately restored the eyesight of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra, what did he see? He saw inside the hall all the gods worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with mantras. Whereas outside the hall, he saw fierce winds, huge waves, thunderclaps in the sky, and the earth trembling. This is what Dhritarashtra saw. The Lord immediately withdrew his universal form and took a two-armed form. Took permission from the rishis and left the palace with Satyaki and Dhritavarna. All the rishis who were sitting there, they also vanished. And after they vanished, Dhritarashtra again lost his eyesight. Only temporarily he got it. The Kurus followed the Lord with folded hands. Kurus is the enemy side, Kauravas. They followed the Lord with folded hands. Only Dhritarashtra and his set of ministers did not do so. Still they were envious of the Lord. But they were still dumbstruck by whatever they saw. They were speechless. So this is the carrot and stick policy. So on one hand, Lord is revealing his beautiful form to the devotees in a very divine way. And he is showing the ghastly universal form to the people who are envious of him. So we have to understand that in spite of personal darshan which the Lord gave, these people were envious. So still they could not understand the greatness of Lord Krishna. Still they could not understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a practical example of how if we have envy in our heart, if we have pride, if we have anger in our heart, we cannot have darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we will have to continue suffering the pangs of material miseries. This is the learning which we have. Lord Krishna's supremacy has been confirmed by all the authorities. Where, no, Arjuna is saying, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhava. In that verse, it is clearly said, Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have seen it with my own eyes. Even the great sages like Narada, Asita, Vyasa, all of them have confirmed. So there is no ambiguity that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I accept everything, O my dear Lord. I have no questions. That you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what this is what Arjuna concludes. So what is the conclusion for all of us? The conclusion which, the realization which I had when I read this verse is that the Lord can only be understood by pure devotional service. We cannot understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any other way. We cannot understand this verse. So on one hand, we see that Maharaj Yudhishthira is performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, and on the other hand, Srila Prabhupada spent his lifetime in writing his divine purports in the English language, and Srila Prabhupada is revealing the same glories which were revealed in the Rajasuya sacrifice to us through his divine purports, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I repeat that it devolves on all of us to now take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and become perfect as sadhakas, and then go out and preach and distribute these books. This is a very auspicious month. Srila Prabhupada Marathon is going on. There is no better time than this for us to continue the momentum which Maharaj Yudhishthira has established through the Rajasuya sacrifice. He wanted to establish Lord Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did the Rajasuya sacrifice. All of us will go out and tell the whole world that Shri Lord Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead by doing book distribution. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much for your patience. Any comments? I'm not risking you all any questions because I won't be able to answer any of your questions. There are two tracks. One is called as the Bhagavad Dharma and one is called as the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi basically deals with the principles of deity worship. Okay. Whereas Bhagavad Dharma deals with all other components which are outside of deity worship. In a sense, Pancharatrika Vidhi is also part of Bhagavad Dharma. Because in Kali Yuga, the conditioned souls do not have the eyes to see Lord Krishna. Therefore, Lord Krishna has descended in the form of Archa Vigraha. We cannot directly serve the Lord because we don't have the qualifications. Therefore, we have the qualifications to serve Lord Krishna and Radharani in their deity form. Okay? And the processes which are involved around that worship, the rules and regulations, the procedures and processes, that is called as the Pancharatrika Vidhi. The Pancharatrika Vidhi was first given to us by Narada. And Bhagavad Dharma is the parallel track, which is the chanting. So Srila Prabhupada said, we should also follow Pancharatrika Vidhi, we should also follow Bhagavad Dharma. Because again, if we simply follow Bhagavad Dharma, people will not understand. If you see, how do people become devotees? By first coming to the temple and seeing the Lord. So if the deity worship is not there, then it's very difficult for us to go out and preach. It is because of this deity worship, it is because of the fact that there is a temple here, people are coming here, seeing this, oh my God, what a beautiful personality this is. Who is he? Then we tell them, this is Krishna, Supreme Personality of God. Okay, how do I understand him? Okay, read Srila Prabhupada's books. So everything starts with the deities. And it's the deity which keeps the entire congregation also together. Okay, so the deity has to be worshipped very opulently. Deity worship is very important. Though it is not the Yuga Dharma, but still, it's a very important component of Bhagavad Dharma. Okay, so how to worship the deities? These processes are laid down in Pancharatrika.
When you approach it from the perspective of your books, then you hear many, many times, why the all God is my grandmother is ready to me? What would you say? What would you say in this one?
If they say that, you know, I know all of this, then probably, you know, I would say that then since you know all of this, then that means you are a very intelligent person, and then this Bhagavad Gita is for intelligent persons like you. We are not giving these books to people who do not know anything. So that way we'll have to say that. But we have to just use their own statement to our advantage. Obviously they'll not say, then when we call someone intelligent, you know, they normally don't say, no, I'm not intelligent. Only a devotee will say that I'm not intelligent. A non-devotee will always say that I'm intelligent. So we just take advantage of that. I mean, I would do that. It's worked few times with me also. People have come and said, yeah, I know all this Bhagavad Gita and all that. But then what we have done this year, that's why, we have made two sets. We have made sets of Bhagavad Gita and Science of Celebration. Because we know this, especially Indians do that more. Bhagavad Gita, I know Bhagavad Gita, yeah. You know, it's there in my house. We also have Bhagavad Gita. And then he'll say, Paramananda, Yogananda, this Nanda, that Nanda, some Nanda's Bhagavad Gita they will be having. So then we said, oh, you have Yogananda's Bhagavad Gita? Very nice. You know what? Take Science of Self-Realization then. At least we push that. Because we definitely know they'll not take Bhagavad Gita. But when they read Science of Self-Realization, they'll come back to the temple and then take our Bhagavad Gita. That's a guarantee. Anyone who has read Science of Self-Realization has become a devotee. Who has sincerely read.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Jai.